Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe is able to join me. He is one of my better friends in the business. I love Pete Abe, just a terrific guy to talk baseball with, importantly for this audience. Pete Abe, how are you?
Kimberly, how are you doing?
I'm terrific. I really am. I'm terrific today. I know. Well, go figure, right?
Yeah.
Watched two games last night. I always tell the audience, Pete, when I'm watching two games on picture-in-picture, I'm really essentially watching none. Because, you know, your attention is diverted and then, you know, the whole thing with me. But I did watch both games last night. I will say this. Eduardo Rodriguez, and we talked about him when you were good enough to come on with me several weeks back. You know, for a guy coming off the horrendous experience with COVID that he had, I think after last night's game, you'd know better than I. I think Alex Cora essentially said he's back to 2019 Rodriguez, and they'll take that any day of the week. He was terrific.
Yeah, he had a rough June for the most part. And the last maybe three or four starts, he's been back to that guy he was in 2019 when he was their ace. And Cora said last night after the game, he felt like sort of this was the game that's going to set him up for the rest of the year, that his changeup was back, the differential was there with his fastball. He was coming out of the All-Star break, you know, beating Yankees team that the Red Sox have to beat, and that this was for the Red Sox a very big development because they needed Eduardo to be good throughout the whole season, and after his struggles, it appears like he's on the right track again.
Well, and good job by the Yankees for making him the ace again that he is. Pete, I'll tell you what, it just felt as a viewer last night. The game, it was no contest. The game was no contest. And I told the audience earlier, I don't bet. If I did, I would have sought out a bet that J.D. Martinez would hit a home run last night, and I would have won that, and I would have been very comfortable saying I would win that bet.
You know, it was funny. For a 4-0 game, it felt lopsided.
Yes.
And there was one point where they got the tying run at the plate, and it was Kimel Castro, a guy they picked up from the Diamondbacks who's ostensibly a backup outfielder, yep, and wouldn't normally be in a lineup for a Red Sox-Yankees game, and he struck out. So, and it wasn't like Aaron Boone had some better options on the bench because of everything that's been going on with all their COVID tests. So, yeah, it was, to me, it was a Red Sox-Yankees game. It was in the Bronx and the uniforms and everything else, but it certainly felt like the Red Sox were just trying to go about their business and get through this with a win and move along.
I've told you previously that Alex Cora just fascinates me. Kind of the comeback. I'm usually big on comebacks anyway because I think people deserve second, sometimes third chances. But the idea that he's just so good at his job. And I was struck last night, David Cone on Yes said at one point, it seems like Alex Cora makes the perfect move. And at that point, he was alluding to the idea that he did not want Rodriguez to face, I think it might have been Sanchez again. I'm not 100% sure it was Sanchez.
Yeah, they brought in Salamora to face Sanchez, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Paul O'Neill was also really complimentary of Alex Cora. It interests me, Pete, when baseball guys recognize the manager who's opposing the Yankees, if that makes sense, because that's not always all that common on a broadcast necessarily.
Yeah, sure. And that would be the same, you know, with Boston announcers talking about another team
right,
too. And
right.
The thing about Alex is he touches a lot of people in the baseball industry because he was on ESPN. He played for a bunch of teams. He was a starting player at times for very good teams. He was a backup player. He's been a guy who's been traded. He's been DFA'd. You know, there's really not much that he hasn't done in baseball that he hasn't been in contact with the people who are announcing, the people who are around the game. And they know him, and they know what kind of baseball guy he is. And I totally understand that people have problems with what he did in Houston. There are still Red Sox fans I get feedback from who say they wish he wasn't managing their team. But like you said, people do deserve second chances. You know, he didn't commit a crime. He broke a rule in baseball. And when to see him come back to the Red Sox and turn around what was just a terrible team last year, and now they're one of the best teams in baseball, the best record in the American League. They're doing all of these great things. Sure, they have more talent than they did last year, but it's largely the same group of players. And you watch them play, and it's like, geez, it's hard to believe this is the same bunch of guys who just kind of slogged through 60 games last year. But when Cora shows up at the ballpark every day, whether they've won six in a row or lost six in a row, it's almost like a different day, that he's showing up with a plan to win that game that day against that team, and he gets everybody to buy in. And over a long season, that's hard to do in baseball, but he manages to do it.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. You know, I heard Alex Cora on with Chris Russo on Sirius at one point, since you and I last spoke, and he asked, Dog asked Cora about the sticky stuff and everything. They were talking about that. That was when that was, fairly new, but you know what I mean. And Cora essentially said, listen, for where I came from, it would be very hard for me to ask an umpire to check an opposing pitcher for something like that, indicating essentially he would not feel comfortable doing that. Pete, you and I both know, and we could list them here and we're not going to, you and I both know tons of people who don't have anything close to that level of self-awareness. I thought that was really impressive from Cora. And I'm not setting the bar too low when I say that. I have a high bar for this stuff. But I thought that was an impressive, I know myself, I know what I've done moment for Cora that not everyone would have said on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, and the other thing about that is he told the entire team that. When this all started coming down and MLB announced, okay, we're going to start cracking down and we're going to be checking pitchers. And I think it was the first or second day of that Joe Girardi asked for Max Scherzer to get checked. And it was either the day before that or the day after that Cora told the team as a group, like, listen, this is what's going on in the game. We all know what's going on in the game. In my position, I'm not going to call the umpire over and ask him to go check the pitcher on the other team. If you guys see something, if you want to bring it to one of our, one of the coaches' attentions, if you want to do it yourself, go right ahead, but I'm not going to do it. And I think this sort of ties in from the beginning of spring training. He talked a lot about his suspension and how embarrassed he was for his family. He put his family in a bad position, and his brother Joey, who's the Pirates' third base coach, was getting heckled in the crowd, and he felt bad for that. And how much his mother was disappointed, all of these different things. And a lot of people would have said, when they were asked questions in the weeks to come, they would have said, well, I addressed all of that in spring training. I'm not going to go back and do that again. But every time Corey gets asked about it, he gives an answer. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't try to pretend like, I've already dealt with this. He always kind of hits it head on. And at some point, I wonder if that's going to end, but I've been amazed at how forthright he's been about it. And that doesn't make it any better what he did. But if there's a, if somebody were to be embroiled in some sort of scandal, you could watch what Alex has done this year to kind of learn how to get over it.
Yeah, great point. Great. Pete, there's something to be said, including in professional sports, for realness, right? I mean, there just is, and I still have to believe that people would rather hear it straight than hear some gobbledygook PR firm gave me this apology to make. I mean, I truly believe that with everything in my being.
Yeah, and we've both run across guys where when something happens, they enlist as many, quote-unquote advisors as they can, and they come up with a strategy. And I don't think Alex has a strategy. I think he's just trying to be himself and say what he thinks. And, I definitely know he's not consulting with anybody about what to say. And there's times his honesty, I think, has rankled some players because he'll say, well, of course we couldn't have put that guy in that situation. That wouldn't, that he's – we're – this is where we want Matt Barnes, or this is where we want Josh Taylor. But the honesty, I think, is kind of what why his players play hard for him, because they know where they stand. They know, he's not going to surprise them with anything. They understand their roles on the roster. And I look back to the World Series in 2018, where they basically took Craig Kimbrell out of the closer's role in the World Series, and it was Chris Sale who ended up closing out the World Series. Mm-hmm. They were using pitchers at different roles than they've been used all season. But the entire time, it just seemed to work, and everybody sort of took to their new role and on the run, and that's what allowed them to be successful. And they're sort of doing a lot of the similar things now. But, they're calling guys up and while they're in first place and working them into the lineup. It's a very interesting dynamic.
Kim Jones with you on The Fan. I'm here till 2. My guest is Pete Abraham, who formerly covered the New York Yankees. He's now been in Boston for a number of years at the Globe covering the Red Sox and is just a terrific baseball mind, and I always enjoy talking to Pete Abe. How long have you been in Boston now, Pete?
Shockingly enough, Kimberly, it's been 11 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing. You know, when you talk about the Red Sox-Yankees, and I understand the Yankees have the COVID stuff. That's nothing the Red Sox could have done anything about either, by the way, of course. So that just kind of is what it is in this series. But last night looked like no contest. I don't know how the Yankees get it together unless Cole's, you know, Houston terrific again, like he was last weekend. I don't know how the Yankees get this together and make this a competitive series with their roster right now.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And they've got a bunch of guys, especially position player wise, that, you know, should be in AAA. They know that. You know, I think he put a player in right field yesterday who had never played right field before. So it's a lot of moving parts right now for Aaron Boone. But also, you know, their main guys didn't do much to help them yesterday.
Agreed.
You know, Stanton was 0-for-4, struck out 3 times, grounded into a double play.
Yep.
Had they scored, you know, a couple of runs in the first inning, and you know, they still have DJ LeMahieu and Stanton and, you know, Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres. It's not like they're, you know, they were completely lacking players.
Right.
Had they been able to, you know, get a couple of runs off Eduardo Rodriguez in the first 2 innings, then maybe, you know, that gives a little confidence to the new guys and you got something going on. But they only had, you know, one hit through the first 5 innings. So it was sort of at that point, you were like, well, you know, yeah, this really isn't going to be much of a contest.
Do you, this is one of my favorite in quotes, one of my go-to topics here on The Fan, because for the life of me, Pete, I cannot understand Stanton never playing the field and in this situation not going to Boone and saying, I know we're in a tough spot, I can play right field for you. I can't for the life of me understand any of it, because I have to believe at this point, if there were some sort of an ailment or injury, Pete, he wouldn't even be taking at bats because he would be so diminished. He's not diminished at the plate. He's not good at the plate for long stretches. I understand that. But he's not a diminished health-wise player. Do you have any theory or have you heard anything about why this guy cannot play the field?
Well, it was interesting before the game because Boone did a Zoom call with all of the writers, and somebody asked him that specific question. In this situation, would you consider putting Stanton in the outfield? And it was almost like the question was like, you know, do you think there's any chance, you know, you'll send Stanton to the moon? Like, it was like, well, of course not. We couldn't do that. And it seems like what they're trying to do is keep him healthy. And they don't want to put him in any position beyond coming to the plate 4 or 5 times a night. They don't want him, you know, straining a hamstring, you know, out in the outfield. They don't want him, you know, running into a wall or doing something that's going to put him on the injured list for a long time because of his history. And the other thing, when you watch him play, anything that's not a base hit, he's basically jogging to first base.
Yeah.
Any ground ball, any fly ball, you know, anything. And he grounded into a double play yesterday in the first inning.
Yep.
It was a ground ball to Rafi Devers, and it didn't look like he had a double play.
Right.
And Devers initially looked at second base and was like, well, I'll just get the out at second.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, Stanton's only halfway down the line. And you could see the Red Sox, like, speed up because they weren't expecting that.
Yep.
And they got the double play. It was easy by a couple steps.
Yep.
And, you could just see by the expression on the infielders that they didn't think there was any chance they were going to turn that off the bat, and they did. And that's sort of, I think, emblematic of where Giancarlo Stanton is right now.
Which makes no sense, right? I mean, it makes – listen, to say that he's younger than you and me, Pete, is stating the obvious, but this is a still young man who is a professional athlete where we know of no chronic condition that is preventing him from being an actual full-time baseball player. Listen, you can tell because you know me. I am exercised over this. I cannot understand it. I couldn't understand it when the Yankees were whole and Aaron Judge was out there. I certainly can't understand it now. I just can't. And I don't know how Brian Cashman and the Yankees have allowed this to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes back to, you know, what he played, I think it was less than 20 games in 2019. He didn't even play half the season last year. And, you know, I think it just all goes back to them being very careful about him getting hurt. And it almost looks like they've told him, don't run hard to first because
right.
we don't want you straining a hamstring or straining a quad.
And he has checked that box, as
be.
You noted. He has absolutely checked that box. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, that's what it looks like. And I don't know, to me, it sometimes it's shocking when you're watching the game and you're like, man, he's not, you know, he's not busting it out of the box. And I don't, you know, maybe the other guys on the team understand the situation. I don't know, but it's yeah, it's very, I mean, he's 31 years old. This isn't, you know, David Ortiz at the end of his career.
Right.
So I don't, yeah, it's not a good dynamic for the Yankees. It's certainly not a good look. And when he grounded into that double play, there were a lot of boos in the stadium last night. And that's not something, you know, in the Red Sox Yankees game in the first inning, when the Yankees getting booed. I mean, that was sort of a sign that it was going to be a long night.
Yeah, and it may be a long series. Paul O'Neill said last night that the Sox go to the plate knowing something good will happen for New York. Nothing looks easy. And I thought for, you know, a declarative sentence from Paul O'Neill, I thought he nailed it. I mean, this Red Sox team looks miles better than the Yankees right now. Devers has their number all the time. Martinez will probably hit another home run in this series before it's over. In fact, before the series is over, I almost guarantee he'll hit another home run at the stadium. And they're just a better operation right now, Pete. And it's happened as we talked last time, it's happened very, very quickly under Alex Cora, and good for them. And by the way, they're expecting Chris Sale back at some point, as you know better than I. I happened to hear Chaim Bloom on an NBC Boston interview when I was switching channels one day, came upon it and wanted to hear the interview. And he essentially said, yeah, you know, we look forward to having Chris back. I mean, they're going to get better. They're going to get even better.
Yeah, Sale's pitching in Double-A on Tuesday. They're hoping to get him to four innings. So he might be another one or two minor league starts away from rejoining them. That could be at the end of this month. So, yeah, now you add Chris Sale to the mix. That you would think would make them a much better team. So, it's interesting. I thought, and I was way off, I thought they were a third or fourth place team coming out of spring training because their rotation wasn't very good. But Nate Evaldi, you know, turned out to be an all-star. They've gotten enough innings from their other guys, and now Sale's coming back. There's still some things they need to clean up in certain places. But, yeah, right now, you know, the Yankees are clearly, to me, in a division well behind where the Red Sox and the Rays are. And they have to worry about Toronto. And to think that the Yankees are looking up at three teams in the AL East, it's got to be pretty startling, to, you know, given their payroll, giving their talent, and giving their history. That, you know, it's one thing to be looking up to the Red Sox every once in a while, but four teams in all, I mean, that's really, you know, to me, shocking for the Yankees.
Yeah, and I think the only one they've got a winning record against right now in the division, I believe, is the Orioles. They might be even with the Blue Jays, I'm not sure, but I think they're 6-4 against the Orioles so far this season, I believe, if my memory is correct, and it may not be. Pete, last topic before I let you go. You know I always appreciate your time. We're speaking with Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe. You kind of answered it in mentioning the Rays, but, you know, truth be told, and Cora does seem like a truth teller, do you think he fears the Rays more than the Yankees at this point?
Well, yeah, I don't know that he would ever say that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, sure, the Rays have been a thorn in the side of the Red Sox for a long time now, and Toronto has been too lately. So Tampa Bay, the way they play is very difficult. I mean, you know what you're going to get from most teams. You know, they have, you know, guys coming in and out, and they'll use seven pitches one night, two the next night. You know, they got guys changing positions all the time.
Right.
You know, I like to kind of think I know what I'm talking about with the American League East, and I'll look at their lineup, and I'm like, oh, I have no idea who the hell that is.
Right.
And that guy gets three hits. And
right.
So it's, the Rays are a handful. And Kevin Cash has become a really, really good manager.
Yes.
They've had some injury issues, but, you know, they're a game and a half. The Red Sox have been playing really well, and the Rays are a game and a half out. So that's, you know, that's a series. So it's a different kind of American League East, I think, than a lot of fans are used to. But Tampa Bay is not going anywhere. I mean, maybe they'll go to Montreal in a couple of years. But in terms of the division, they're not going anywhere.
Pete, forgive me for not knowing this. Have you seen the Rays since Wander Franco has been elevated?
Well, yes. You know, we were there the first day that he got called up.
Okay.
And, it was like the Pope showed up. Like,
yes.
Here's a guy who's supposed to be the best player in minor leagues. And he homered off of Eduardo Rodriguez. I think it was his second at-bat. And everybody was all, you know, pumped up and everything.
Right.
Well, he's only hit one home run since.
Okay.
I think he's only hitting about 210 or 211.
Yes.
Hasn't been what they thought he was going to be. And they're giving him, still a pretty good amount of at-bats. But it's almost to a point where they probably have to start thinking about maybe they need to send him back to AAA.
Okay.
Because it's been a struggle for him. And, I get it up now. It's 209 with a 264 on base percentage.
Yeah, checked it, and I think it was 211 when I last checked it. So,
that's not what you're thinking for the guy who's supposed to be the best prospect in the game.
Right.
So it's, but, you know, the Rays are so deep that, you know, they've got plenty of other guys they can try. So
exactly.
Yeah, and even when they called him up, he was initially at third base because they liked the guy they had playing shortstop. So it's you know, they don't have any big superstar players, but boy, they've just got a lot of really good players.
They're amazing. And Kiermaier's still getting it done in center field. You know, and I think he's been mostly healthy this season, but he's a remarkable player and a great interview. I happened to hear a Zoom with him when I was, you know, in the car at one point in Pennsylvania. Last thing for you, and it's not about, you know, Red Sox and it's not about Yankees, but I was struck during the All-Star game when Dave Roberts was on along with Kevin Cash. And Dave Roberts is an older school kind of guy, obviously, than Kevin Cash, but the mutual respect between them showed me a lot. And as you noted, Kevin Cash is a really good manager.
Yeah, and both of those guys, I thought, handled, you know, the All-Star game can be tricky because you've got a lot of guys you've got to take care of, and the game doesn't count for anything, so, you know, you're trying to put on a good show at the same time.
Right.
And the Ohtani thing sort of threw a little bit of a wrench into it because they had to bend the rules to let him do what he does.
Right.
You know, Cashy handled everything, I thought, perfectly. Dave Roberts did a really cool thing. He had Reggie Smith, who's, I think, 76 or 77 now, on his staff to kind of honor his career.
They
let him go out and make a pitching change. There was a lot of this cool little things that happened in the All-Star game with both of those guys managing. And I don't know that there's such a thing as, like, the perfect guy to manage an All-Star team, but it could be Dave Roberts because he just, you know, with all of the good players they have on the Dodgers and his experience as a World Series champion, he just seemed like he was really comfortable in that spotlight, knew all the right things to say and do. It didn't really matter, you know, who won the game. It was just a fun night for baseball fans. But it was, I was watching that over a couple days in Denver. I was thinking, I'd love to cover a team that Dave Roberts manages because he seems like the kind of person you could learn a lot from on a daily basis.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. And it was the Ohtani show, obviously. And Pete, I'll leave you and the audience with our conversation with this note. He got $150,000 for participating in the Home Run Derby. Obviously, it would have been much more had he won it, but got $150,000, distributed that money to 30 Angels support staffers, trainers, clubhouse workers, media relations staff. If he did it equally, I believe it's about $5,000 a person or $5,000 exactly a person. But I'll tell you what, I don't expect you to counter me on this very much. Ohtani does everything right in terms of, you know, enjoying, it seems, the opportunity he has, but also embracing the responsibility as well. The guy's unbelievable.
You know, what really struck me, Kim, was there were a whole lot of players who bailed out of the All-Star game.
Yeah.
You know, Mookie Betts, all the Astros, Jake DeGrom.
DeGrom, yeah.
Yeah, and for various reasons that some of them looked a little suspicious. You know, they just didn't want to go
Judge should have probably, but go ahead,
And here's Ohtani, who's, you know, clearly the busiest guy in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, he does all of these different things. And he was like, not only will I be in the Home Run Derby, I'll be happy to start the game. I'll be happy to DH and get a couple of at-bats. The Home Run Derby, he, like, swung himself into exhaustion practically. And then he gets up. You know, he loses in the first round. People are disappointed. He's smiling the entire time. Seems like he's having the time of his life. He's taking on media requests from, like, literally the entire world.
Wow.
He's on the red carpet, like, you know, there's a mob of people following him around, and he never seems to be distressed by any of it. It seems like, you know, he's perfectly happy to accommodate people. He seems like he's having a good time.
Wow.
When he's asked questions, you know, he doesn't just sort of give a stock answer. He seems to say what he actually thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, he's a lot of fun. We were out in Anaheim about 2 weeks ago, and the entire stadium at one point, he came up to the plate in the ninth inning with two guys on in a one-run game. Everybody in the stadium was standing up and held their phones up to record what he was going to do. And it was like, it felt like you were at like a U2 concert.
I was going to say like
everybody
a concert,
to Flip Albano. You know, it was amazing. And I thought, you know, watching that from the press box, I was like, you know, this is a really, really good thing for baseball that this dude's doing what he's doing, because it's hard to take your eyes off him. And you just wonder, like, whether it's throwing 100 or hitting a 500-foot home run, like, what's he going to do?
Yep.
And it was really, you know, they hear that he's a good guy, too, with what he did with that money. That sort of just puts the icing on the cake for him.
Yep, and he probably has the perfect manager in Joe Maddon, who doesn't let a whole hell of a lot bother him either, by the way.
Yeah, so, I don't think Joe has anything bother him.
Yeah, I think that pairing is probably absolutely perfect. Pete, you're so good to join me. I hope at some point I see you again, my friend, but I thank you for joining me here on The Fan.
No problem, Tim, anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.